There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 on this very wet Monday as we get started and looking at the track of, I guess now, Tropical Storm. We'll find out for sure in a second. Ida to the north and east and coming through our area right now. So we go to our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, for an update. Dr. Bill, this is you've taught me this term in the past. It looks like we have training thunderstorms coming through our area.
Yeah, what we have now is sort of a feeder band. This is a line of showers and thunderstorms that tend to work the way up into the center of the storm. In this case, Ida. Ida is now located just southwest of Jackson, Mississippi. And this feeder band now is kind of moving through Mobile County, and it has some very heavy rain. And it'll be crossing the bay and into Baldwin County a little bit later. But some of these feeder bands have produced tornadoes over the last 12 hours or so. And this is going to be something that we expect to happen. And today, tonight, and even tomorrow, the storm over near Jackson, Mississippi, now continues to draw moisture in from the Gulf. And that's a very unstable atmosphere, and as a result, we continue to see these heavy showers and thunderstorms. So that's what's going through Mobile County right now.
Yeah, looking at this, this feeder band, is this it? Or when this one moves to the east, does it get replaced by another one coming from the west? What do you expect?
Yeah, we'll see some more of these lines of showers and thunderstorms that will develop and kind of stream on up, right up out of the Gulf and circulate up toward the center of the storm. And but right now, Ida has continued to lose strength. It is now a minimal tropical storm with winds of 40 miles an hour, and it will become a depression very shortly. It'll continue to track to the north or slightly east of north and move on up through northern Mississippi through the rest of the day and then into Tennessee tomorrow. And by Thursday, it'll be over New Jersey as a depression, and then we'll go out into the Atlantic. And so it's going to have a long track and will continue as a disturbance out over the Atlantic, probably affecting eastern Canada. Wow. But here along the Gulf Coast, it will continue with periods of heavy rain for the rest of today, tonight, tomorrow, and will still be affected on Wednesday. But some good news, Thursday and Friday, some drier air will come down from the north and will lower the temperatures a little bit, especially at night. We'll see some readings in the 60s for Thursday night and Friday night. So that should be very pleasant. This is nothing unusual when a good strong storm moves on up the East Coast. It'll tend to bring some drier air in from the north.
Yeah, and what about those that really need it? It's, what, a million people right now in Louisiana without power from Ida. Will that cooler air get over for them?
It's going to dry out, definitely, even in Louisiana. In fact, a lot of the rain now is basically staying to the east of Louisiana, so they'll have some fairly decent conditions now to go out to various towns and inspect and help out in the damage. But most of the real heavy rain is to the east of Louisiana, and that's across Mississippi, Alabama, and even now northwest Florida.
Dr. Bill, give me your assessment of Ida, strength and that storm. Somebody was saying it made a list here, right? The fifth strongest storm to make landfall?
Well, this is certainly one of the top storms to make landfall in the country. As a winds of up to 150 miles per hour, I believe, tied Laura last year, went into also into Louisiana. And ahead of that are storms like Michael and Camille, I believe Andrew, and of course the top one is the Labor Day storm of 1935 that went to the Florida Keys. So it's not that we're seeing more of these strong storms with 150 mile per hour winds or more. A lot of these may have occurred in the past, but we didn't have any way of measuring them. We didn't have the aircraft flying through, didn't have any satellites. Now we are able to detect these storms and get a lot more information. So you're seeing a higher frequency now of these Category 4 and 5 storms, mainly because of our ability to monitor, detect, and get all this data.
And being so good at calling where that landfall will be, you know, I mean, maybe get a little shift at the end of the storms, but it's so good. You were telling us last week, you called this thing way early last week where it was going, and that kind of information gets people a chance to get out of the path of the storm. I mean, heck, if I live in coastal Louisiana, I mean, I'm getting out.
Well, one of the things that I talked about was the Gulf Loop Current. And the Gulf Loop Current was in position very similar to that of Katrina, and what, 16 or so years ago. And the storm went right across the Loop Current, and it had stayed to about 105 mile per hour winds as it went across the southeastern Gulf. When it got into the central and north central Gulf, it went over that loop current, and it's extremely warm water, but not only at the surface, but at some depth. And so what happens when the storm goes over, it churns the water up, and instead of bringing cold water to the surface, it brings more warm water to the surface. And that's where the storm really exploded in size, just like Katrina did. It didn't get, you know, quite the scale of Katrina, but it really intensified and went on up to 150 mile per hour sustained winds.
I know there's going to be a lot of information coming out as the weeks go by, and we'll see the amount of damage. Storm surge, obviously a big story when you know, have low relief place like Louisiana. That's a big story, and then but 150 mile per hour winds. I mean, that's devastating.
Yeah, so far we have had a lot of little tidbits in the way of video, but once they get out today and really start looking around, it's going to be incredible what that storm did, and particularly in areas like Houma, which was the first larger town that the storm went through.
All right, Dr. Bill, dare I ask this as we wrap up this part of our conversation, is there anything else? I mean, it's that time of year.
Briefly, named storm, I believe it was Julian, way out in the Atlantic, and it has apparently dissipated. But now one of those areas out in the middle of the Atlantic is now Kate, but it's going to move to the north. However, there's another system coming off the African continent. In fact, it was so large that they were already indicating that it was going to become a depression before it even got off Africa. And so it looks like it's going to take more of a westerly track. So we may be watching that one for a while.
All right, Dr. Bill, we always watch it through your eyes, and we appreciate the updates, and we'll check back with you very soon.
Okay, Sean.
There's our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, with the Eye on the Tropics all hurricane season long. Man's been doing it for 40 years here and making the call and doing it correctly. That's why we hang out with them, one of the many reasons. And by the way, too, we'll get maybe in the second hour some of this discussion. People are texting me and emailing me about people in Louisiana. Here's this. So I have been texting two of my friends that are live on the North Shore, okay, North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain, and they haven't gotten back with me. I don't think they're in harm. I think the cell signal and the tower issue over there is so much, so that may be part of what's going on. Did talk to the other friend checking on folks in St. Bernard Parish, said they were looking okay there. Still a lot of damage, but those folks were okay. We'll talk more about that, but we'll talk about what's going on here at home with our Congressman Jerry Carl. That comes up next right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We will keep our eye on the weather out there. Those flash flood warnings in effect, Mobile County, up into Washington County, as that rain continues to train right through here in those feeder bands, feeding what's left of, I think, just a barely a tropical storm, Ida, at this point. Well, let's check in with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl to talk about what's happening here in AL1 from the storm. Congressman, thanks for your time.
Oh, great to be on here. Thank you.
You and I were talking during the break, and this is helpful information because I was talking to people that have been emailing and texting about they can't get through to folks over in the New Orleans or the North Shore area, and I said I did the same. I texted friends I hadn't heard back that the cell, you know, they're probably not getting those text messages. You pointed out that which network was down?
AT&T. We have a congressional meeting on these storms. We get a briefing twice or three times a day, and the briefing this morning, of course, it was early as far as getting any information to us as far as damage, but AT&T's complete system is down.
Okay.
So there's an agreement that stays in place. All those switches will be switched over to the other companies, which would be Verizon and some of the other cell companies. So if you don't hear back from somebody, don't panic, because it's just going to be a flood. You know, probably 50% of the phone links are down. Because of this AT&T, until they get it back up, it's just flooded. I mean, there's nothing we can do but sit and ride it out. But it was much too early this morning to give us much of a damage report, you know, on the ground. I know we've had one death, but I will really be surprised if there's not, you know, more that comes along with that, especially as they get down into Houma and down into where the storm actually, you know, breached and came through there. So it's a mess. You know, as far as our district here, we're really blessed. We got a lot of rain, a lot of wind. I'm looking at my backyard, and it's flooded, which, yeah, I live on a hill, so that's saying a lot. But we're just going to have to give it time to drain. Everybody needs to be patient, stay home, you know, spend the day sitting around with the family, whatever you can do to stay off the roads, especially the rural county roads, where there's going to be some impassable roads. When you get in the south part of county, Dolphin Island completely off limits. Balabatra is very, very limited. So just be careful if you get out. Most drownings after storms occur in cars. Most people don't realize that, but that's something you need to keep in mind before you think you can cross that little stream with your truck. So take care of yourself.
Yeah, go watch the videos, y'all. If you don't think it can happen, go watch the videos of, you know, you're like, oh, that truck can make it, and then watch it go drifting away and, you know, down a stream. So well said, Congressman.
Yeah.
And we'll see, like you said, I mean, I think the story comes out from here and, you know, Mississippi and Louisiana over the next week or so when we start finding out. You know, there's areas
just,
that...
Just keep all those folks in your prayers.
Yes.
It's not a good situation.
For sure. Speaking of not good situations, help me out with something that you've been talking with us for weeks now on. Is this really happening? Are we really leaving tomorrow from Afghanistan? Is that it?
That's it. I just got I hope it's my last phone call. I got six new all congressmen. I don't know, Republican, Democrats, all of us have been working across the board, collecting names, trying to get them to the Department of Defense, DOD, and we're trying to get out as many people as we can. The last six I got were all interpreters. I told the retired Army guy, I said, I'll be honest with you, it's impossible. You know, and unless something just really, really changes and they just happen to get through that fence. Right now they're loading, you know, they're loading soldiers and Marines up. You know, they're 9.5 hours ahead of us time-wise. So this time tomorrow will be the 31st, pretty close to it. So they're loading our folks up now. We're going to get our folks out, but we have no indication. I'll tell you something I saw a report on, and I haven't verified it yet. I saw it on the news feed. It was one of the national put it out. But the Afghan government is claiming that they offered the president and his administration, obviously, the city of Kabul and the airport to take it over until they could get everyone out, and they turned it down. So I don't know what the mentality is from this president, and now's not the time to be all political about it, but we've got some serious questions we've got to start asking. And I'll be back in D.C. tomorrow, and we've already started asking questions and putting our list together, and we're gonna hold him accountable. We're going to get some answers.
Yeah, there's so many questions, Congressman. I mean, you know, the lives lost – right? The lives lost here and watching them over the weekend, the bodies come home at Dover Air Force Base, if that doesn't put a pit in your stomach.
Well, you know, everyone's focused on Kabul, but that, you know, that country, we've got so many contractors over there, and a contractor's not somebody that goes over there and just, you know, with a gun and a rifle. A contractor is your mechanics. Mm-hmm. You know, they're your technical people that go in there to fix things, that keep oil wells running, and, you know, they're contracted individuals to do a job. We're focused on Kabul. How many have we got left in the rural parts of Afghanistan? And again, all the oil rigs. The Afghans cannot work on heavy equipment. They're used to camels and bicycles, and I don't mean that in a smart aleck way. They are not mechanically oriented. The Americans are, so we have a lot of contractors over there that are unaccounted for. So how many of those are we going to lose?
We will
never have an accurate number.
Administration says maybe just hundreds left, but I don't know. We look at a country the size of Texas, and everybody focused on Kabul, and I understand that. But to get, I mean, there's got to be people that were in far-flung reaches of Afghanistan, meaning far away from Kabul. How the heck were they going to get to Kabul? This idea that there's no one left, there's going to be no one left that wants to get out, it seems very, very questionable to me, Congressman.
Well, I think questionable is a nice way to put it. I think the information we're getting, they're trying to make this look as good as they possibly can, meaning the administration, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. So 12 hours from now, shut.
By the way, too, yeah, and Leanna just looked in when that was playing. We got the serious part of it is a tornado warning, including Saraland, Satsuma, and Chickasaw goes to 115 today. So that's going on. What you're hearing there, I'm my best guess, haven't done this many decades. So those warnings that come in from the our EAS system, they're not generated here. They're generated at a federal and a state level. What we're getting is whatever's on APT, I guess. That's my best guess of how that's working. We're getting a little bit of Sesame Street or whatever kids' learning show is on there. So when the warning goes over and you hear that other part, we still can't cut away from it, that is coming, I guess, from the public television that sources the warnings for EAS. So that's probably what's going on. I'll tell you what, go to the news and come back and pick up our conversation with AL1's Congressman Jared Carl, talking about the situation in Afghanistan. But once again, confirmed tornado with this warning. So that's part of this. Sometimes we'll get a tornado on radar, but they don't. But this has now been confirmed. So a confirmed tornado with the warning east of Highway 43, Satsuma. Hey, y'all, take cover. Heading towards the east side of Criolla, take cover. Right now. This is right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, once again, to explain, that's a function of the emergency alert system that is giving us a taste of APT at the end of those warnings. Once again, that tornado warning we are talking about, this is in effect right now. Take cover, Criolla, Mount Vernon axis, Satsuma. It's on the east side of 43, tracking towards Baldwin County. As updates come in, of course, it'll take over, and it's going to probably be like this throughout the afternoon. All right, continue our conversation with our Congressman, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, and talking about the situation in Afghanistan. So tomorrow, like you pointed out, they're 9 hours ahead. This is really coming to a close, even with the number of people that even the administration admits are still there.
Yeah, we've got 4,000 troops we got to get out, and I want every one of those out too. So when they close the gates, it's over. This time tomorrow, it will be the 31st there, or the end of the 31st, and we're quote unquote supposed to be out of there. So we'll see how it plays out. This time tomorrow I'll be in D.C. We've been trying to get the Congress back in session. We can't get Nancy Pelosi to call us back in. So a lot of the Republicans are actually going in to see what we can do after the fact, because we're still trying. We're not going to give up trying to get people out, even though the last flight comes out. We've still got a lot of civilians that are going in. Thank God for our veterans. I mean, they've organized a lot of private flights in and out of there. They've been getting folks out. So we're going to do what we can do. I don't know what else to say. It's just a bad time for this country. It's truly a bad time. And the finger pointing will start tomorrow, especially for me, because I've really held my opinion and my tone, I think, pretty darn good, knowing my own self, my personality. But this time tomorrow, I'm going to start opening up. I'm going to start land blasting some people that need to be held responsible for what's going on.
The other part of this, too, is the non-human part of it. And I have held off talking too much about it. You and I talked a little bit. But some accounting for what we're number one, just tactically, to give a terrorist group, and that's what I consider the Taliban, let alone other, you know.
Have you seen the list of equipment that we've left behind?
I saw one over the weekend, and that's what, I mean, once
over
again.
400,000 assault rifles.
Yeah.
What they call assault rifles.
Right. Let's talk about Black Hawks. Let's talk about advanced technology.
That won't be on that list. The stuff that's really creepy, the technology, and I can go into more detail, but, you know, the technology we took into there, we're able to identify so many of those folks from a camera shot, their pupil, their fingerprints, you know, all these things. That was set up by somebody from here in Mobile.
Wow.
We know it's there. We know that now they've got their hands on it. We tried to get 7 members of that team that were trained. We tried to get them out very early on. They were some of the first that were captured there in Kabul. So we lost all that technology. So Taliban has that, and they can literally go door to door and scan eyes, and because we have all the equipment left there, all the equipment is there that they need. So
and it's going to be
just going to be a bad situation. Not just for what Americans are left behind, but that is a country. I mean, it's just going to be brutal. You know, on the women. Well, all the small children, I mean, they've got a very disgusting history as far as their brutalization on children. So all we can do is just sit back and try our best. I mean, we're going to wind up going back in there. There's very little doubt in my mind, because most of those weapons are going to be turned against us, and we won't have an option but to go back and finish. And I hope we let the military do what the military needs to do.
Keep
the press out of it. Keep opinions out of it. Let soldiers go in there and be soldiers, and let's get it over with. Get out.
Yeah, but the problem I have with it, Congressman, is that we're already there. Leaving and then turning around and coming back in, it seems like it's foolish.
Sean, we got 24 hours. You're not going to change it. This administration's mine.
Well, yeah, we've had 3 weeks.
I don't know who's making decisions for him on this. We'll just stay with this one topic. But it can't be anybody. I mean, it's a woke culture. And you and I spoke on that as far as the leadership that we deal with, the generals and stuff. But they're still soldiers, they're still Marines, they're still a fighting force. It just needs to be turned loose and let them do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah,
I don't want a bunch of woke folks out fighting a war for me. I want warriors. I want somebody that's going to kick butt and not worry about taking any names. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I would just ask this. As I think about what may happen in weeks to come and questions out there, we could go through, 22,000 plus Humvees, 634 M117s, 155 mine-proof vehicles, 169 armored personnel carriers. I mean, we go down the list of the Black Hawk helicopters, all these things left. And if they're going to say, if the Pentagon's going to say, and Jeff talked about this earlier, that my reluctance, and maybe he was thinking about me and others, my reluctance to ever criticize anything in the military, that's gone in some of the higher brass, not the boots on the ground, but the higher end. I am going to criticize, because if they said that those munitions were left, those armaments were left for the Afghan security forces and that Afghani government, at the same time, even through their bad estimate, but they said, well, Afghanistan would fall in 3 months. Congressman, help me understand this. Even if I take their story that they said, well, it wouldn't be a week, but we thought it was going to be 3 months. If you thought that the Afghan security forces would fall in 3 months, but you're leaving all this equipment there for who will be the new owners of it, the Taliban, how the hell does that make any sense?
It doesn't. I mean, you'd at least have it in place where programmers, software writers, they always leave a back door. So you keep those back doors open. So you can crash that equipment or stop it. Mm-hmm. The only positive side is, like I said a while ago, the Afghans just are not very mechanically oriented. So as that stuff tears up, they're going to leave it on the side of the road. You know, that sand over there is just so fine. It, you know, it just tears everything up as far as filtration systems. But the guns and the armor and everything else, it, you know, we will be fighting against that for years. Now, what they will have is the world's largest yard sale over there. And if they haven't already done it, I would be shocked. But you're going to see the Chinese and Iran and these other countries actually come in and start buying some of this equipment. It'll be repainted, and again, it'll be used on either they'll reverse engineer it, build something that looks like it, or they'll repaint it and use it themselves. But, you know, it's just a bad situation this administration's got us in. And, again, it's easy from a political standpoint to stand and point at the other side and say, you did it. But this is America. You know, this is forget Republican Democrats. What have we done to ourselves? That's the part that frustrates me the most, and that's what keeps me up at night. That's what keeps me worried. You know, what are we doing to ourselves as a country? We are a country. So, you know, I get frustrated. I'm one voice, you know, amongst 400 plus in Washington, you know, but you just keep screaming in the dark and hoping somebody's listening. That's all we can do. Don't give up. Give out, but don't give up.
You mentioned something earlier talking about veterans going back in there and different folks. What are your thoughts on that? As you get stories out, Wall Street Journal and other publications have stories about private rescue efforts going on, whether that's contracting through like a Blackwater or something else. As people say, to heck with it, my government's not getting it done. I'm going to have to pay and have a private contractor do it. What's your take on that?
The largest military source in history is in America, and they're called veterans. They are warriors that have done it. They will do it again. It doesn't matter how old they are. They may not jump over a fence. They may have to climb over a fence, but they still have that warrior blood in them. And that's what you see going on right there. That's what government fears the most. And when you talk about federal government, you're talking about January 6th, and you start talking about stuff, don't take for a second that the federal government doesn't recognize that those warriors are out there. And they can, and what they're doing over there in Afghanistan is just tremendous. It just speaks volumes for the veteran community. I don't have that in me. I wish I could say I did with a clear conscience. But what they're doing is incredible. They're going against all odds, and they're going in there and getting those people and getting them out. How long can that last? I have no idea. But this is what confuses me. If we can identify two or three people that put this plan together riding in a car, you know, 20 miles from where this explosion happened, why couldn't we have stopped it before it happened?
Yep.
If we knew those were three people, why could we not have stopped it before it happened?
I'm glad to hear you ask that because, you know, I'm just a regular guy, not a congressman. I asked that question this weekend. We were sitting around the house. I said, if we could do that, then why now? Why now? Why couldn't we have done it earlier? I'm at a loss on that. Maybe there's a good explanation. I don't know, but it leaves me scratching my head for sure.
Well, we have military intel, and they'll start briefing us this week, I hope, on some stuff. And the bad thing about being briefed, you can't share it with anybody, including your wife. And you know what good is it then if you can't talk about it? But it just frustrates me that we're able to pick three people out of the whole city. But we couldn't pick those three people out before. And there's going to be more of that. They're already telling us that. Well, common sense tells us there's going to be more of that. We don't need intel for that. But, you know, let's start identifying who these people are. Let's turn that place into a sheet of glass.
But you said...
I keep saying that. Let's show the strength. Let's show the who we are. We're America. We're the strongest fighting force in the world. We may not have the leadership to prove that, but we certainly have got the resources to prove it.
You said earlier that we'll have to go back in there. We'll have to go back in there. Would you vote for since we don't declare war anymore, but would you vote to go back in there to send, like, come out? We're out here after, like you said, tomorrow, y'all, this is happening, and then to reassemble and go back in?
Listen, after sending the son over there into active combat, I wouldn't send anybody's child into active combat until at least one, if not two, things happen. You drop bombs. You use every piece of technology you got. You wipe it clean, and you got to send boots in there to clean it up. There's no doubt about that. But you can make it pretty darn safe. If there's not anything standing, nothing they can hide behind, you know, your boots have got a good chance. But what are we going in there fighting for? You know, I think the Chinese are going in there for the precious metals. I think you know, they're there. They've been there. The Chinese know what they're doing. They're trying to get resources, you know, where they can start mining some of that. And the Chinese are messing up because, I mean, no one has been able to conquer that country. You know, it's a guerrilla warfare type situation, and an outsider just can't win in a guerrilla warfare situation. I mean, Fidel Castro, good example, Cuba, as small as that is. It's hard to beat a local.
Let's talk about this, the subject you've talked about since the word go with us, and I want to get people up to date as there's still so many out there that are suffering, really, veterans community watching this. There are resources. We talk about them here, but from your office, y'all have been doing something from the word go. If somebody is a veteran themselves or has a loved one that's a veteran that's having a very hard time with this, understandably, how do they reach out? How do they get help?
Go to my congressional website, Representative Jerry Carl or Jerry Carl, U.S. Congress Jerry Carl. And we've got multiple groups there that will work with these veterans. And sure, talk to, love on your veterans. Make sure they understand we appreciate the job they well done. For 20 years, we've lived safely here without this, terror being brought to us. They have done their mission. They have done their job. What's happening today has nothing to do with our veterans. It has everything to do with the administration and the choices they made, not the warriors that have defended us for the last 20 years. And they need to hear it. They need to hear it out of our mouths. When we see them at the grocery store. We see them at the drugstore. We see them wherever we see them. Just say, thank you for your service. You did a great job. They need to hear that.
Absolutely. And thank you. Thank your son as well from my family.
Thank you.
All right.
I will.
We will catch back up with you soon when you go to Washington. Congressman Jerry Carl, we talk again. Keep doing AL1's work in Washington.
Thank you, Sean. And everybody, God bless America, and please keep us all in your prayers.
Well said. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile as we watch the remnants. I guess it's still a tropical storm. I got to see the update here of Ida, but causing trouble here. We've got the tornado issue that we've been talking about there. It was northeast Mobile County, now moving its way into northwest Baldwin County. So you got that going on. And, of course, that the training thunderstorms leading to the flooding in northern Mobile County, Washington County. Y'all are getting some of that as well. We'll keep our eyes on it and give you updates. Right now I want to check in with my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars, where y'all are on site today, right?
Absolutely, and I jinxed myself. I told you when we got on there it wasn't raining. Now it's blowing sideways. So anyway, we're here. We got plenty of inventory, great financing, and we're ready to do business.
You know, I like if somebody doesn't want to go out in it today. I've been a shopper of y'all's as of late. Bought a vehicle last week from you, and I use the website.
That, and plus, we have a big carport here, so if they see something out there they like, we can flip it up underneath here and stay high and dry.
All right, so selection. Your inventory is building every time I talk to you.
Absolutely. We got a good selection, as you've personally seen, as mid-size SUVs. We got full-size SUVs. We got all kind of cars and trucks, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, diesels, gas. So we're getting back to normal.
All right. So somebody wants to check him out in person under that cover today or online. Tell them how to find you.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Right, grab a couple of these texts. And joining us here shortly, District 105 Representative Chip Brown. Of course, got to talk to him about what's going on in 105, South Mobile County, and Dolphin Island and the Bayou and places like that. That, listen, we got off way way better off than Mississippi and, of course, than Louisiana. But still, there are some issues around here, so we'll talk with him about that. And, of course, talk with him about Afghanistan, a man that spent quite a bit of time in Afghanistan, has been giving us updates, and he and I were communicating all weekend long. Some of the stories maybe you've heard of, we'll get into those as well. All right, so thank you, Lisa, for that update. We knew that that tornado, they said it was confirmed, not just a radar signature, it was confirmed. And Lisa on the text line says, a tornado touched down in Saraland, multiple injuries at the Plantation Motel, and the fire department is saying multiple structure damage from Saraland to Criolla. So Northeast Mobile County, and we'll as we get more information on this, Lisa, thank you for that update. Tornado touchdown in Saraland, multiple injuries at Plantation. I know where that is. And the fire department saying multiple structural damage from Saraland to Criolla. They've got a lot of friends that live in Saraland. If y'all see something, chime in. Let us know what's going on there through the text line at 343-0106 or send it to my phone. Jay is saying Chinadol, the rice and beans, the Chinadol facility there has been damaged from that. I guess that's the same tornado, Jay. So now we have two updates there, and Leanna's walking in with something here. All right, I've got a Facebook Live. If you'll go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, we got a Facebook Live feed from up there going on right now. So once again, just go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065, and Leanna is on it, has that posted up, and you can check it out there as well. All right, so we'll talk more about this when we return next hour, and of course, the situation in Afghanistan. And as we mentioned in the beginning of the hour, just for what it's worth, it's I think it was AT&T down on cellular over in the Louisiana, and I guess maybe more eastern Louisiana. Maybe that's why your text messages aren't getting back. I have texted two different friends over there checking on them, and I have not getting responses from them. I don't think they're on the North Shore in that Covington area and up there. I don't think anything has happened, but I'm just kind of pointing this out that don't panic that the cells are down. Actually, I was monitoring some New Orleans radio earlier, and they were playing a game in the studio where they were texting each other as they sat by each other, and the texts weren't going through as well. So, more updates when we return. Representative Chip Brown joins us next hour right here on FM Talk 106.5.